What about other Marian apparitions? What signs are there to discern if an apparition or devotion is from God? What is the role and the importance of Fatima among Marian apparitions? These and other topics are discussed in this fireside chat with Father Michael Rodriguez and Father James Maudsley.
Praise be, Jesus and Mary. I'm David Rodriguez, Content Director for the Fatima Center, joined by two very special guests. Welcome, Father Michael Rodriguez. Welcome, Father James Maudsley.
Thank you.
So wonderful to have you again in this series of sort of informal talks. What maybe the faithful would ask you if they had you out to, you know, drink a little beer or just a little chat. I think one of the questions that a lot of people would ask you, and in part I hear them and we hear them at the Fatima Center, is about this or that Marian apparition. Specifically, I mean, we could include other supernatural events, but I really want to zero in on Marian apparitions because I do get these questions often. In general, what our position has been is the Fatima Center since the days of Father Gruner, and it's a little easier for us because we're called the Fatima Center, so we really want to zero in and focus on the message of Fatima that Our Lady brought. So we really try to focus as much as possible there, believing also that it is the summit of Marian apparitions and the message for our times, the only solution. So it's a little easier for us to really zero in on that. Nevertheless, people always ask about others. How does one then counsel people in those questions? You know, so Father, if other people begin to talk to you, for example, about Marian apparitions, do you have any kind of list of criteria or guidelines by which you might guide the faithful?
Yeah, a true apparition, it's all good and all true. It's not enough that it has some truth in it. If it's from God, everything about it is good. And with the major approved apparitions, like with Fatima, there are unique and unrepeatable and fresh elements about it. So the 70,000 people witnessing the miracle of the sun, it's irrepeatable, unfakeable. And the theology of the prayers of Fatima that children then passed on, it's so intense and deep and completely coherent with all the church's theology. Or with Lourdes, these medical examinations of the healings, nobody can contest it. It's so thorough. Or Guadalupe, 8 million baptisms in the decade following. And the Tilma as a material evidence for what happened. And Walsingham in England in the 11th century, there's the material in the House of Nazareth that was built. And this, it's ineradicable. There were kings and queens from Europe coming there to do pilgrimage there till Henry VIII had the shrine destroyed. And it resurrected as a pilgrimage. So that lots of people are doing it today. It can't be ripped out of the life of the world. Whereas with other very dodgy, dubious, so-called apparitions, one example, the divine will, though it's not so Marian as supposedly what Jesus has been saying. You know, people are like amazed. They say, oh, Luisa Picaretta, and she might have been a good woman, but I believe she was deluded. They say she would be rigid as a board in the morning and couldn't move until a priest came in and either blessed her or touched her something. This doesn't sound very positive. It sounds like she needs an exorcism. The true apparitions are either delightful or sobering, like the visions of hell are sobering. Or Lourdes is delightful. Guadalupe is delightful. With the Castilian roses coming out of a tilma that hadn't even been planted in Mexico then. But the divine will is even part of her writings about Jesus vomiting black liquid and solid into her mouth that she then is permitted to spill on the ground because it was too disgusting to swallow. How can anyone read this without saying that is from the devil? That's disgusting. It's revolting. People defend it. They say, but we eat the body and blood of Christ. God has given these to us under the most natural thing for us to consume, the sacred species of bread and wine, the accidents of bread and wine, not a vile black liquid. People say, oh, it's mystical. But a true mystical experience like St. Catherine of Siena talking about getting the stigmata, it's wondrous. It's not revolting. So beware of those unnatural or disgusting elements, which I think is too obvious to say.
No, I think it's good to say the obvious, Father. Yeah. And if I can just recap to make sure I understood, you were saying that one of the big things, which I think is wonderful, is this objective that others can sort of confirm, supernatural yeah. event that God has manifested His glory. So it isn't, it can never just come down to hearsay. Well, you know, I know my friend who got healed there, and mm-hmm. who knows if the healing was authentic, dubious, or what, but there's these verifiable, like the Dilma de Guadalupe,
yeah.
you know, all the medical examinations at Lourdes, the miracle of St. Fatima, that God will always act in this supernatural way that is irrepeatable, that nobody else could do but God alone, and that this is one of the signs, for example, that the church uses to in fact know it was an authentic Marian apparition.
Yeah, this objective, and God likes to use material. He loves His creation. And if it's just down to feelings, the feeling I got, like Medjugorje, that's no proof at all. The reason I think that so much good comes out of Medjugorje is because people go there to make sincere confessions and to pray the rosary. And of course, there's a lot of good when people pray and confess, but it's not because of Medjugorje. That's not the source of these goods. So if people feel they're convinced by something, that means nothing.
Yes, the main thing that I would say, I think is pretty similar to what Father Maudsley say. I would just tell the faithful, look, you have to base yourself on the apparitions that are approved by the church. Those that are approved by the church, stick with those, and you can draw great fruit and grace from those. I think, obviously, as David also mentioned, you know, Fatima has a privileged place, obviously also because of the, we could say, you know, proximity to our times, but certainly the miracle of the sun. I mean, that's something, a confirmation from heaven and a confirmation from God that is really unparalleled. There's also a very beautiful pattern, certainly stretching back to the apparition of Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal in 1830, but likely even before that, but of the, we might say, kind of gradual unfolding of the great importance of the Immaculate Heart of Mary for our times, what some have called the age of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So, I mean, again, that kind of bolstering also what's taking place in Fatima. But I just caution the faithful and I say, look, we have to be very cautious about like the sensational and always like, let's say, looking for, okay, what did the Virgin Mary say today? What did she say yesterday? What are the different messages that are coming from our Blessed Mother? I don't know. It just seems to me that some of the faithful are very susceptible to this kind of, Father Mosley touched on it a bit, this kind of feeling, experiencing, wanting to have something immediate, like what is the Virgin Mary doing, like right now, doing here, doing there, you know, what healings are taking place, you know, kind of this excessive or obsession with, I don't know, the supernatural, but not necessarily in the best sense. And I would strongly urge the faithful, I'd say, look, there are so many beautiful, I mean, approved apparitions of our Blessed Mother, and so many that we don't know about. I mean, you just mentioned a few, Father, but I mean, just this past year, I was beginning to read a little bit more on some of the different approved Marian apparitions, and it's incredible how many there are. I mean, even just like in Italy, all these beautiful shrines that have been built over the years and incredible miracles that took place and how over the centuries, you know, kind of the history that is, you know, tied to all those different places. But you mentioned one. I mean, that I don't know how many of the faithful are familiar with Walsingham. I mean, I've been learning a little bit more about that one. But I mean, it just, there's, for example, another one is the one, there's an apparition of Our Lady approved by the church in Colombia. David might be a little bit familiar with it because we did visit it once on a pilgrimage to Quito of Las Lajas. And there it's a beautiful shrine and also remarkable, talking about, you know, miracle, how the image of our Blessed Mother, it supernaturally was made. You know, it's like on the surface of the rock, but it's like also inside the rock. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's obviously something that no artist could ever do. But I would just strongly recommend to the faithful, look, you have such beautiful apparitions of our Blessed Mother that are approved by the church. Study them more. Meditate on them more. Like Our Lady of Guadalupe. I mean, it's such a beautiful, I mean, in so many, many ways, the way that our Blessed Mother and Our Lady of Guadalupe is affirming, like the Lex Credendi, saying that she's the mother of the one true God, the living God. Remarkable things also about her image. I mean, recently I was reading about how they've made different, you know, scientific exams on how the actual image of our Blessed Mother, that it's always at I think 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit, the body temperature of the human. Yeah, that it's always like a 98.6 when, whether it's colder or warmer, you know, like let's say in the rest of the area right there, it's 98.6. Things like that. I mean, just some remarkable.
The objective.
Yeah.
Scientific.
Yeah, some
miracles.
Just remarkable things.
So what would you say, for example, to someone who would say that they only, because you were saying stay with the church approved ones. And so if someone were to say, well, I'm only going to stay with, let's say, the Message of Fatima and all the others I don't want to pay any attention to. They'll distract me from the Message of Fatima. Is that a sound approach, or would you caution, or what would you, because I'm trying to think now the other sort of side, the other extreme, if you will.
I think one could be a bit more open than saying that, but I also think Fatima is enough. If you were to try to devote yourself only to Fatima, it's enough. And think of Lourdes with St. Bernadette. Was it 16 apparitions in Lourdes?
I think 18.
And afterwards, she said she's living this life cloistered. Have I got that right? Cloistered or just in a convent? And she's compared herself to a broom, which God uses to do a job and then puts away in the cupboard. And I don't think any human author could have thought that up to do that. To have this young girl who started in a rubbish dump, and it's turned into one of the most beautiful sanctuaries in the world by God's grace. And this girl who was at the center of it then lives the most quiet, humble life as a nun for the rest of her life after. And you see with the fake ones that the visionaries are turned into celebrities. Mm. Everyone gathering around them. That's not of God.
They and acquire wealth and fame.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
You know, supermodel wives and things
fake,
of that sort.
All fake. And when it becomes a cult, so people are angry with you if you don't accept it. It's like, whoa, there's something wrong there. Because if people refuse to believe Fatima or Guadalupe, you'd think, well, that's a sadness, that's a shame for them. But you don't get angry with them.
If I may just dovetail, just to reemphasize a few things you said, because I think some things you said are key. We can look, you said, at the life of the visionaries themselves and how, you know, they live the piety or the holiness, like with St. Bernadette. You said, it's interesting because people get irrational, emotional, very angry if they hold on to a particular unapproved apparition, and then you sort of say, well, I don't think I like that. So people's reaction is indicative. And then the last one I think you said earlier at the beginning was just how it all has to be true, right? Because that's another thing I look at. If anything in the message that Our Lady purportedly said goes against something in the deposit of faith, for example. So if she were to say, oh, you know, you can be saved just by being a good Jew and following the Jewish religion or a Muslim, just be a good Muslim or a good Buddhist and follow those particular paths, and then you'll go to heaven. All religions are equal and pleasing to my son, equally, sort of thing. Then once you start hearing these things, well, you know that's a lie, you know that's false, that goes against the teachings of the church. So that's another very clear sign. So I like those three, because I think those three also ways that just the layman can sort of discern these things. Father.
No, to the question on, you said that the person that kind of says, you know, Fatima's enough for me, I kind of would say what Father Maudsley said. I would say, well, I mean, you know, I wouldn't, let's say, be overly critical of the person. I would just say, okay, well, you know, concentrate well, you know, really try and live the Fatima message as best as you can. Learn it as well as you can. You'll be okay. You'll be, I mean, it's going to be the way that's going to lead you to God. Particularly with Fatima, because if you're really being devoted to Fatima, what you're going to do is you're also really going to kind of delve into devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And I'm telling you, that really just opens, most certainly, it leads us to God. It leads us to the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I mean, it leads us in so many ways to all the treasures of our Catholic religion. So I actually, though, think that kind of like because of that, it's an example that because of, let's say, devotion to the Immaculate Heart, that in time, even though maybe one kind of had that attitude about, you know, I'm just going to focus on Fatima, I think in time it would lead one into also some of the other beautiful Marian apparitions. And I think it can also really be helpful because you're able to see the goodness and generosity of God and obviously also of our Blessed Mother. You're able to see just the beauty and, like I say, the universality of our Catholic religion, of obviously also the God of our Blessed Mother. One is in awe of, I mean, even just something like, let's say, the apparition of our Blessed Mother, you know, the one where she appeared while still alive, Nuestra Señora del Pilar, where she appeared in Zaragoza, Spain, to the apostles of St. James. You know, a beautiful apparition. I mean, a beautiful, talking about, again, objective miracles. I mean, you know, this pillar that stands still to this day, and they've never been able to find, you know, the origin of that pillar. So it's just very also uplifting, motivating to just see the way that our Blessed Mother also proclaims the greatness of God, Our Lady of Mount Carmel. I mean, just to name a few, I mean, like you'd say, well, just the richness that there is, for example, in the apparition of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal. I mean, some of the Marian apparitions, I think, also that highlight, for example, Mary as, let's say, mediatrix, Mary as co-redemptrix, like devotions to Our Lady of Sorrows. Now, obviously, see, this is why I think Fatima is also so marvelous, because you definitely also have this element of Our Lady of Sorrows, in that Our Blessed Mother, especially in the final apparition on October 13, 1917, you know, she appears sad afterwards in Pontevedra, I think, particularly where, behold, the heart of my mother, that's, you know, her sorrowing heart. So, I mean, definitely you have very strong elements of Our Lady of Sorrows and her sorrowful heart, her Immaculate Sorrowful Heart in Fatima. So that kind of goes back to why we're saying, look, Fatima, you know, has a privileged place. But I think just devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows, I mean, is so magnificent. I've always, even, you know, you have different countries, just like certain countries have particularly strong devotions to different saints. Certainly, I've been impressed. I mean, I know it a little bit better. That's why I know of it. But I've just been really favorably impressed to see how much devotion there is to Our Lady of Sorrows in southern Germany, like in Bavaria. You know, so many different little shrines and so many beautiful shrines dedicated to Our Lady of Sorrows. And I kind of say, well, that can only add more and more to your love of God, to your love of our faith, your love of our Blessed Virgin Mary, and ultimately, I'd say also to your love for Fatima and all the different approved apparitions of our Blessed Mother.
If someone follows the Fatima Center, they'll be put onto the brown scapular as well, when Our Lady appeared to St. Simon Stock and gave him the scapular. So Our Lady consolidates the faith. The devil seeks to distract us from it. He can't build anything or come up with anything good. So all he can do is try and distract us from it. With the Five for Saturdays devotion, Our Lady is bringing us to the sacraments, to the Holy Eucharist and to confession, and with prayer, both to vocal prayer and meditative prayer. People ask, Father, what is meditation? What is silent prayer? Well, if you do the Five for Saturdays, you're going to have to find out. You're going to have to ask someone, or you're going to have to read a book. You're going to have to find out and do it. And once you've done it five times, then at the end you have the best vocal prayer, the rosary, and you know how to meditate, and you've got the best material to meditate on, the mysteries of Christ and Our Lady, and you've been brought to the sacraments. So this is consolidating our faith. Whereas, I don't trust Garabandal. I know there's some good Catholics who do, but I think it has those unnatural elements, like with the children walking backwards up the hill. Why would God do something against nature? Miracles are always in the direction of nature, only quicker or greater. But they don't go against it, or the host suddenly appearing on the children's tongue, but on video. I think they just cut the video. And it's all about these, I think that one is about 16 warnings. Maybe six or seven have been supposedly fulfilled. And people are on TED Talks about, when's the next one, when's the next one? You're not living in the present. You're worried about what disaster is coming next in the future. And I don't believe it's consolidating the faith as Our Lady does.
Well, thank you. I think those are wonderful principles, wonderful guidelines by which we can certainly be more devoted to Fatima, but also come to appreciate the other church-approved Marian apparitions. Father, if you'd close us with an Ave.
Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus.
Santa Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostris. Amen.
Maria te admirabilis,
ora pro nobis.
In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti.
Amen.
This presentation has been brought to you by the Fatima Center. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved. For more resources regarding the Catholic faith and the message of Fatima, and to support this vital apostolate with a donation, please visit our website, fatima.org, or call us at 1-800-263-8160. All need to hear the message Our Lady brought the world at Fatima, and we must all faithfully observe it. So for the glory of God, the honor of Our Lady, and salvation of many souls, please share the Fatima message with everyone you know, and may Our Lady reward you. Our Lady of the Rosary, pray for us. Thank you.